Hey, happy Friday. I'm Chris Parrish, Chief Investment Officer at Oak Harbors Financial Group here in Houston, Texas. We're an independently owned investment and retirement planning shop. And welcome to our September 24th Stock Talk podcast, keeping you connected to your money. Well, listeners, we're in the mid-September dead zone of the third quarter. Last week was option expiration week. Why do we call it the dead zone? I call it this because starting the third month of every earnings reporting quarter, companies and their management teams increasingly enter what is known as the quiet period. This doesn't mean things are quiet. No, it means this is the time of the quarter when direct company-initiated information on how their business is doing slows and eventually ends to comply with SEC and federal inside information and regulation FD rules. Investors are left trying to filter out the noise and determine for themselves if and what macro or tangential information might be relevant to their investing time horizon. If anything, the noise level rises, it doesn't fall. We saw that this last week with this evergreen deal in China affecting our market short term for 2 or 3 days. There's been an uptick in short-term volatility caused by that real estate company in China. And Asian markets being closed at the beginning of this week. They were closed for Monday and Tuesday, which left basically only Europe and American markets open for trading. The cash S&P 500 dropped about 4.5% peak to trough earlier this week if you were a perfect seller at the top and buyer at the bottom, which no one is. CNBC and other TV financial news channels paraded out the usual suspects in a red tape. They had Peter Bachbar out, Jim Chanos, Kyle Bass, and Mike Wilson's, who are all out reiterating their dire economic and stock market predictions. Never mind, they've all been wrong the last 12 months, and two of the four have been wrong for the last 5 years. This is news if you watch the financial TV networks. Even Jim Cramer, who's been seasonally cautious, even had to laugh and comment as to this must be the buy point for the sell-offs. The team at Oak Harvest continues its same line of thinking. This is nothing new this cycle, and investors should stick to the same two simple rules through early next year. Those rules, rule one, don't fight the Federal Reserve, and rule two, it's not different this time. Yes, I know a lot is being made by amateur chartists on TV of the S&P 500 chart breaking its 50-day moving average. What do I think of this analysis? For now, I say so what? It's done it many times this cycle, and it has been a buy signal, not a sell signal, the last 5 years, X a very few occasions. Three similar time periods one should look out before you panic: the late summer of 2013 and 2017 in August and September. Yes, there's those time periods again. And late summer last year, on all those occasions, all during Federal Reserve QE policies, the S&P 500 spent 10 to 12 days at or below its 50-day moving average, and subsequently then rallied and made new all-time highs within 4 to 8 weeks. You want to panic during a normal summer slowdown because of a chart? Not me. Looking at a 3-month return from August through October months this cycle, using only presidential first terms under QE, the average 3-month return is a little less than 4.5%. In years 2009, 2013, and 2017. Listeners, the max was almost up 5% in 2009, and the low was up 4.2% in 2017. That's for cumulative the months of August through October, that seasonally terrifying time period that people on TV talk about. Given we already know this year's August return was about a positive 2.9% in the S&P, and most of September's return is already in the books at down negative 1.8%, we can triangulate what a normal October return might be. And this is just, you know, data and math. There are no guarantees. August S&P 500 was up 2.9%, as I said. Month to date, we're down about 1.8%. So to get to the average 3-month return from August to October, to get to that 4.5% return for this year, this October would have to be up about 3.4%. And guess what? A return of that 3.4% from here, where we currently sit about 4,450, would yield an S&P 500 target of 4,600 by the end of October, or another new all-time high. And that's heading into a seasonally strong fourth quarter for the U.S. economy and the markets. No guarantees, But I remind listeners, this is just sticking to two simple rules that have held true this cycle. It isn't different this time, and don't fight the Fed. That's it. Things like lumber pricing have turned up. Copper pricing looks to have troughed. Volatility looks to have peaked. Investor sentiment is at the same levels that it was at into the lows of the 2020 election. And the overall economic surprise index, which people talk about on TV all the time, except when it starts turning up, is starting to turn up in its normal seasonal fashion. No one's talking about these things. Sorry, Barry Bannister. Sorry, Mike Wilson, or the rest of you. The big down move that you've been forecasting almost all this year should not be seen this year. That's what the small data set of the second half of 2009, 2013, and 2017 would say should happen. The data has said the back half of September would likely give us a rally to bring us back to flat to up for the month, on the way to new all-time highs in October and much higher in the fourth quarter of this year. No guarantees, of course. There's been so much advertised about seasonal weakness. What happens later in September, just next week, early October, when there are a few earnings warnings by companies, or when companies report and their stocks don't drop? Like the recent behavior of airline stocks, auto stocks, home builder stocks, like Lennar this week. That would leave negative positioned investors left covering shorts. I think many people forget that the third quarter of a calendar year is rarely, if ever, a good earnings quarter for the overall market, because we are a 75% consumer and service-driven economy. And late in the third quarter, people are focused more on going back to school and end of the summer things rather than consumption. We typically leave those behaviors for fourth quarter and first quarter here in the United States. The retail data this week already is pointing to an uptick in spending as the Delta variant looks to have peaked last week. My son goes to Georgia Tech and he gets the data every day because he's an RA. They have two cases of Delta COVID virus at all of Georgia Tech right now. Remember, listeners, that Gen X and millennials are the driving force in the overall U.S. economy. They are the largest population in America. Millennials are the age group 25 to 45, and as much grief as that group gets on CNBC and Fox News, they control the economy. And what are they worried about first and foremost? They're worried first and foremost about their children's health and returning to a normal school and work schedule. And what did the Delta variant do? It slowed down their spending and their sentiment on the future this summer. The vaccine data for children under the age of 12 just came back positively this week, and that news was drowned out by some Chinese real estate developer and hedge funds being forced to sell in our markets because Asia wasn't open on Monday and Tuesday. That's why the market was down so much. That's why you want to panic? Not us. While we expect continued sloppy and choppy stock markets the next week, stock buybacks start to kick in over the next 2 weeks, which should lend buying support to companies who disappoint on short-term earnings misses due to supply chain issues or overly optimistic short-term summer outlooks. If it isn't different this time, this week was likely the lows for the fourth quarter. While the next few weeks should be sloppy and choppy, we should rally to new all-time highs and could rally, if it's just normal as it's been the last 5 years this cycle, up another 10 to 12.5% from the recent all-time highs. That would place us somewhere between 49.50 and 50.50 sometime in the first quarter of next year before the norm for this cycle would be over. And what does that require? Really, it doesn't require a lot the next 4 to 5 months. Just more of the same things that we've gotten to us here the last 15 months and really the last 10 years. One, no, it's not different this time. And two, don't fight the Fed. With regards to the Fed balance sheet, a lot's made about tapering. I looked at the data. I follow it every week. I've got a spreadsheet on it. Guess what the data said last week? The Fed balance sheet is accelerating. It's up 20% year over year now. That's the highest acceleration it's been at since tax day this year. That's positive for the rest of the year, not negative. At Oak Harvest, we're a comprehensive wealth management and financial planning advisor located right here in Houston, Texas. Give us a call to speak to an advisor. Let us help you craft a financial plan that is independent of the volatility of the stock markets. Our phone number, 281-822-1350. We are here to help you on your financial journey into and through your retirement years. God bless and have a great weekend.
All content contained within Oak Harvest Podcast expresses the views of the speaker and is for informational purposes only. It is based on information believed to be reliable when created, but any cited data, indicators, statistics, or other sources are not guaranteed. The views and opinions expressed herein may change without notice. Strategies and ideas discussed may not be right for you, and nothing in this podcast should be considered as personalized investment, tax or legal advice, or an offer or solicitation to buy or sell securities. Indexes such as the S&P 500 are not available for direct investment, and your investment results may differ when compared to an index. Specific portfolio actions or strategies discussed will not apply to all client portfolios. Investing involves the risk of loss, and past performance is not indicative of future results.